You said something earlier, Chris, about what people find funny. You were talking about a story, something that happened to you, and you're like, it was funny, but it's not really funny, but I thought it was funny. And it got me thinking about things that people find funny. And some people believe that certain situations are funny, even when people are being hurt or tormented. And I don't mean that in like a sick way. I just mean, for example, I once worked with a teacher that told me that she thought it was hilarious when people fell. So she's like, at wintertime, when you watch other teachers outside on yard duty, you see somebody slip and fall. She said she can't control herself. She will start laughing because it's so funny. But it's not funny because somebody could be hurt. And I wrote it down because this happens to me a lot, especially with my kids. They'll say something and I'll laugh and they're like, "Why is that funny?" And I'm like, this whole thing of what people find funny is interesting because there's the two sides of it for me. There's the socially acceptable funny stuff, then there's the socially unacceptable funny stuff. And when you remove your head from just those two options and you are aware that there's like a billion people on this earth type of thing, and everybody's going to have a different sense of humor, generally speaking, anything can be funny to anyone. It's just about you. So if I slip and fall on ice and the people around me are laughing, I'll get up and I'll be like, "You guys thought that was funny? That really hurt." So to my world, it's horrible. To them, it's like that guy fell and the way he fell was funny. What are your thoughts about that? What people find funny? I'm starting to open up to the fact that I'm starting to realize that it's okay if I fall and hurt myself, that other people will find that funny. That's okay because there will be times that I find things funny that other people won't.
I think laughing at stuff like that is complex, only in so much as the your so I'm not disputing on the inside. You fall and you hurt yourself, you're feeling pain. You're feeling pain. You look up, you see someone smirking. There's something about that. Without any sort of self-assessment, like you think about yourself, that I'm imagining would amplify your emotional state. Now, does it make you actually hurt more? I don't think so. Does it piss you off? I think so. Like you take it as a personal, kind of like a personal affront that someone would be laughing at your pain. I think it's easy sometimes to confuse also when we're triggered somebody else's emotional response as intentional, as an intentional action at us. For example, I know that I have students that their stress response is to laugh. They're actually not happy at all. They're actually quite anxious, but they get this great big grin on their face, and you can almost see them. It almost looks like a pained smile, like it's not true joy on their face. There's something quite fearful on their face because what's also happening in that moment is that they realize that they, if they do realize they're smiling, then they also realize that their smile could be interpreted as something insulting. And I've walked past situations where I've heard an adult in the building say, "Wipe that smile off your face." And that's a power move, right? That's a power move to try and control the emotional state of somebody else. So, a couple things come to mind. Do I laugh at things like that? Yeah, I do. I've been trained on slapstick, the movies, the Airplane movies, Laurel and Hardy, Three Stooges, a lot of the sort of clowny type buffoonery stuff. It does. It does. It catches me. If I'm not overthinking it, it catches me in a laugh. Have I laughed at someone when they've hurt themselves? I have. I have laughed at a person before. Sorry, wrong. Have I laughed when I've seen someone hurt themselves? Yes. Have I ever laughed at someone because they hurt themselves, as in it was intentional? No, I have not. Not that I remember. Not since maybe I don't know even ever, I have to be honest. So if we sort of look at impact versus intent, I have not intentionally laughed at someone's misfortune probably since I was like three or four. And I don't even remember necessarily, but I'm just kind of put it outside that realm of memory. I've never been the type to sort of directly feel that type of an emotion when I see someone is once I understand someone's in pain. I think that one of the things that makes this moment strange, I think, is that if you do fall, that like if you do fall and we use the slipping on the ice, if you do fall and somebody notices it, and do you have a right to expect that somebody else, it's kind of like existing in this very strange, overly compassionate, overly sympathetic, overly empathetic kind of mind space. Do you have a right to expect that you can control their emotional state? Do you have a right to sort of expect that they're going to understand yours? Especially if there's no relationship there. If there's no relationship prior to you falling, why should there be any understanding of your pain while it's happening? And I guess you could kind of say, but you know, that's kind of, actually I'll do this. I think if you make the assumption that human dignity is what's at stake, I guess you could sort of do that and say, but you should just always have your kind of your benevolence turned on. But I don't know. I'm always, the slapsticky fall on the ice, I always kind of look at it in a bigger sense, just from the point of view of, I do think that a lot of people have an expectation that they should be able to control other people's states of mind. And I think it's exemplified when they say stuff like that. I'm upset because you laughed when I fell. I think that's in some ways a really unfair expectation of the humans around you, that somehow that people should automatically understand your emotional state and that they should follow in suit to your expectations. I don't think people are there to sort of fulfill your expectations of wherever it is in that moment that when you slip and fall. I will say I've been on the receiving end of that benevolence in a really kind way. I don't know what, it's 2 years ago. I made the mistake of wearing my Crocs to Shoppers Drug Mart on a snowy Saturday. I think I related this story to you one time. It was a Thursday afternoon. And I slipped coming out. And I literally, when I slipped, it was cartoon style. My feet went parallel, like my whole body went parallel to the ground. So I went whoop, and I went slam right down in the parking lot. And when I laid there, it sort of like it totally knocked the wind out of me. And I got up on my knees and I sort of rolled around almost into child's pose, went into recovery, back side into recovery mode, rolled up onto my knees and kind of just hunched there for a second in the middle of this parking lot. And as I looked up around me, there were 8 senior citizens all peering down at me. It was surreal. And I was like, man, that's a whole lot of senior citizens. What I didn't know is that particular Thursday at Shoppers was like Senior Citizens Day. Like it's their discount day or whatever. So I benefited from the kindness of strangers. They helped me to my truck. One of the guys actually, he put me in my truck and then I'm looking for my keys. I can't find my keys. And he's holding my keys. He goes, I'm keeping your keys. I'm going in to get my medication. And I'm going to come out. When I come back out, I'll give you your keys back. You need to recover before you drive anywhere. I was like, I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? Dude has my keys. So he came back afterwards. He's like, how you doing? So I think I'm okay now. He goes, you're sure? Sure. He goes, okay, get out of the truck for a sec. So it's like a roadside stop. He goes, get out, stand here for a second. He's looking, he's like doing this, looking at me. He's like, okay, your pupils look okay. He's like, okay. Here you go. And he handed the keys back.
Probably a retired cop.
Yeah, it could have been, or just a concerned citizen. But yeah, so that moment, I think because of the audience, them seeing another adult fall, I'm sure was a bridge to their own experience. Them thinking to themselves, if they ever fell in the parking lot, you know, it could be bad for them. Like I would say the average age of the people that came up to me was probably like 75, 76. I have a vague memory when the dude was sort of helping me to my truck. One of the people that walked away saying to him, "You good, Mike? You got this?" So they actually even knew each other. As in, the "this" was me. Mike was the individual that was helping me into my truck. So it's just like this posse of senior citizens maximizing their Shoppers Drug Mart points. So
that's wild.
Yeah. So I get the laughing. Yeah, I get it. I think the expectation that we share kind of a common fluency of emotion and compassion, I think it's a flawed assumption. It's a hasty generalization that I think is not necessarily in action when stuff like that happens. And yeah, it's taken me a lifetime to sort of be able to, I guess, be aware enough to say that I do stuff like that. I do laugh at people. Is my intention to hurt them by laughing? No. Sometimes it's just me getting caught, and I'm not quite sure. My reaction just kind of comes out before I really realize that I'm reacting.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I'll laugh, and then if I realize that somebody's hurt, then it's different, right? Like, then it's like, oh, geez, they're hurt, you know? But if they're not hurt, the best is when they laugh with you.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, that was that. I'm sure that would have been funny or whatever. This was years ago, many years ago, when I was actually more flexible and limber and less likely to be injured. But I don't know, many years ago, I went out to pick up dinner and I slipped in the parking lot. And I'll never forget, I got in my car and it was really icy. And as I was walking to the door of the establishment, I did one of those, the leg goes up. The one leg goes up and then the momentum takes the rest of the body and boom, I fell right down on my rear end.
Yep.
And I knew enough not to get up right away because I remember learning that what happens is people fall and then they get up right away without thinking about checking themselves first because of pride or whatever the situation is, right? So I literally sat there and I was like, okay, am I okay? And I kind of started like, I'm kind of moving from side to side. And I'm like, okay, well, I didn't hit my back or my head. So that's
cool. Body check.
Pretty much, but really aware.
Yeah.
And then as I decided, okay, I could get up now. I think I'm okay. I look over and I see the employees in the store looking out at me. And then they looked at me. And then when they noticed that I was looking at them, they turned away right away. So it's almost like, uh-oh, we saw that guy fall. But we're not going to do anything about it. Oh, he sees us looking at him, but we're not going to help him. So we need to turn away now. And I'm like, but I'm going to be going into your store. So I get like, it was just weird. So I get up, I walk in, I tell them who I am, and nobody says a word. Because now I'm thinking, are they thinking that they don't want to deal with this because their entranceway is a sheet of ice? And nobody's gone out to try to salt it or to sand it or anything, because that wasn't my concern. My concern was like, I could have been seriously injured. Would anybody have come out to help me?
Yeah. If I hurt?
And I paid for my meal. They gave it to me and I left. And on my way out, I was very careful. And then that was it. You know, nobody said anything to me. I didn't say anything to them. I think if I were the owner, I probably would have said something to the patron and been like, I'm really sorry. You know what I probably would have done? I probably would have given them their food for free just to be like, oh my God, I'm really sorry we didn't get out there quick enough. Here's your food. It's on us. Do you want me to take it out to your car? Like, just there's nothing I can do to fix what happened at this point. I mean, I could go out there and now start salting and sanding, but I can't change the fact that you just fell coming into my restaurant to get food.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have to tell you, I've never been back to that restaurant since.
Because of that?
Yeah, just because of like, I just found that it seemed like nobody cared. Nobody cared for me as a person. Nobody cared for me as a customer. So I'm just going to spend my money elsewhere for the food that I want, mm-hmm. which is awesome because I've explored different places that serve the same kind of food and I found way better places. So now it's like we've never been back since because I found better places. But it's interesting. Nobody laughed at me. Now, had they laughed at me, had they thought it was funny and then I come in and they not say anything, then I think I would have been upset. But had they laughed and I came in and they would have said, are you okay? That looked funny, but are you okay? Then I would have been like, yeah, I'm okay. Thanks for asking. But they didn't say anything. It's like it never happened. And there weren't a lot of people. There were more employees working in the restaurant than there were patrons in the restaurant or in the parking lot. It was really weird. So anyway, you talked about this earlier. I thought I'd throw it at you.
I don't know if I ever told you the story. It was about 4 years ago. About 4 years ago, I was walking out of Upper Canada Mall. And you might have come close to that in my town in Newmarket. It's kind of like the mall in the area. The mall. And I was walking out. Along the sidewalk. So I was on the east side of the mall. I think the east side. And I'm walking down the sidewalk to my car and I'm very close to the curb as I'm walking because I'm about to kind of cross into the parking lot. So as I'm walking, some dude walks right in front of me, kind of comes out of, I don't know, the Sears or the Pure Later store that's right there, walks right in front of me, has a cigarette sort of up in his left hand as he passes and he just kind of blows smoke out into the air. Goes mostly into my face. So he passes by me. And as he passes by me, walks past me like this, I turn and I probably had some sort of look of incredulity on me. Maybe I was going to say something. Don't even know at this point because I turn and within like 1 second, there's this like lightning bolt of pain in my face and then blood and then a crunchy noise. And I'm holding my face. And what I had done was as I turned to look at the dude, I was still walking forward. And what I did was I was walking forward, but looking sideways. And I went right nose first into a no parking sign. And you know, the design of the no parking signs, it's like bent metal, right? It kind of goes flat. And then there's sort of like it goes like this and like this so that a bolt can be put through it. So I hit the outer edge of it and it caught me just on the right side of the nose. So the crunching noise was the sound of my nose in my head. And then the pain that came after that. Basically, I got punched straight in the nose, but it felt like immediately my nose starts bleeding, like just everywhere. And this was sort of early summer. So I was shorts, t-shirt. I got nothing to kind of deal with this apart from I just bought a gift from Fruits and Passions. So it's like that soap store. So I had the gift bag. So I'm pulling out the tissue from the bag and I'm kind of blotting it over my face. The tissue was white and green. So it was like white and green and covered in blood. And the thing that dude walked on, didn't even notice that I injured myself. I got to my truck. I sat in there for a second, I had some wipes in there. So I sort of cleaned myself up. I'm kind of doing, you know, I'm tenting my fingers over my nose to sort of feel, okay, does that feel like there's like it's broken? Like it, and I didn't think it was, but it was a damn crunchy sound when it happened. And then a little bit of the shock kind of set in because I'd injured myself and it was quite a bit of pain. So I got a little bit of the shivers, like that, this is like full body shiver. I'm like, okay, do I go to the hospital? Do I go to the hospital? I ended up not going to the hospital, but I did sit there for a little bit longer, listen to a few tunes on the radio. And I started to think about how, like, this was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, broad daylight. Nobody said a peep. Nobody. There wasn't a single person that seemed to notice, commented anything about this. I'm holding a bloody tissue paper. Like, the blood was just everywhere. Now, be it, I could have freaked a lot of people out. I probably, you know, anyone walking out of the mall might have thought that I had just been in a fight, to be honest, because it was that. The blood was all down the front of my shirt. So, but it's interesting because when I think back, that sort of nobody commenting on it, I think rattled me more than the actual injury. Because it, you know, it kind of puts you in this weird state of mind, like, well, I guess it's no biggie. It's a little bit like when I broke my shoulder, I had a similar kind of, I guess, mental response. Because when I slipped in an empty parking lot, and I fell backwards. And because there was no reaction, I guess part of it, no reaction around it, like, oh, you need to sit still, buddy. Like, just relax. Don't go anywhere. I drove home. Dislocated shoulder and a broken arm. But I drove home. So I don't know. I don't know. To sort of have this conversation's got me in kind of a weird state of mind.
Tell me more about that.
Well, I think part of it, you got me thinking about it, the psychology of injury. You got me thinking about compassion and whether or not how we sort of perceive that we deserve it when we're injured. You know, that whole getting up fast, I get that. I wasn't getting up when I fell in the snowy parking lot. But when I was able to get up, I did have that thought, like, take it slow, Clef, take it slow. Like, don't, you have no reason to bounce up. Just take it slow. There was something very, I don't know what the word is. I loved that I was kind of cared for in that moment by individuals that I didn't know. Very quickly, what could have been sort of embarrassment and I guess shame transitioned into a focus on self and recovery. And I don't know if I would have, actually, I'll say for sure, I wouldn't have had that, because when I went and I smashed my nose at the Upper Canada Mall, I still went to the movie I was planning on going to that night. When I fell in the parking lot, I went home. I didn't go to the hospital and get checked out for a week and a half. There was something really important about having somebody there and react in an appropriate way that allowed me to process my own injury, I would say, in a more human manner. Because left to my own devices, I'm like, I got it, I'm good. I can't tell you how many times I've been working on something outside. I cut myself, I hurt myself, and I just keep on working. Come inside, looking at my hand. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of deep. You're looking at the cut or looking at the thing in your hand or your arm. I don't know. Yeah, that's all I got. That's all I got. Where you want to shift to next? You're muted. I knew that I was missing the wisdom. I was like, whoa, he's really thinking. And I look up and I could see her, the lips moving.
I actually just told everybody the secret to life.
Oh no. That's awesome. Suckers.
I'm just gonna proceed. You know what's got me, what's been eating at me lately? I'm going to shift. It's a weird shift, but we only have a few minutes. The nonsense of edu-celebs continuing to write books and me laughing at the book title that we would have, or that you came up with this. So it'd be your book, the, well, what is it? Hey, sucker.
Hey, sucker. Yeah.
You could have found everything on Twitter.
Yeah. Hey, Sucka, thanks for buying my book. You could have had it for free in my feed.
Crazy. So I'm thinking the same thing. These books are coming out, and I'm just like, whatever. I have no, it's almost, I'm almost turned off by, I see a new book by somebody, and I'm like, I'm not even going to look at it. I'm just turned off. And you know what's interesting to me is with some of the people I've been talking to lately in the ed tech world, even they're like, yeah, I don't even look anymore. Or they'll use a phrase and say, I don't want to use that phrase because it's connected to this person. And I just laugh because I think this is beautiful that everybody's exhausted. Well, not everybody. The people buying the books and on the bandwagons, they're not exhausted. They're loving every minute of it. But for the people who can think critically and see through some of these books and some of these people, it's pretty refreshing to hear other reputable people say the same thing, right? Like people who are in the game, who understand how the game is played and refuse to play it that way because it's low-hanging fruit. I have a lot of respect for those people. It popped up in my feed. I've been doing a better job these days of keeping my Twitter feed in my wheelhouse. And that's not to say that it's my wheelhouse is different than the silo. I think I've got perspective from different silos, but I just feel like I'm kind of tapped out. Energy tapped out, you know, and you and I were talking about earlier about some of the bad habits I've picked up. This is interesting. I'll leave it here. I was talking to somebody yesterday and I said that when COVID started and I was at home working from home, I was in a better place mentally and physically. And then when I went back to work, my physical and mental status have declined. And I think it's the added pressure and unconscious stress of what we do for a living face to face. There's got to be an outlet for it. And unfortunately, the outlets I'm kind of going after are not the best ones for me, but they make me feel good. So I need to do something. I feel like I need to do something to pick me up every day, you know, and get me. It's almost like I survived the day at work. So now I want to come home and I want to hang out with my family. And I want to savor those moments that we talked about in our last couple of podcasts. And then there's time for me, and that time for me is unproductive and not so good for my mental health or my physical health. But I have to say, the other day I was cooking with my wife and I burst out laughing because we were cooking a meal, and normally I'm complaining the whole time because I don't want to be cooking the meal, but I'm cooking and I'm enjoying every minute of it. I was bantering with my wife and she's like, what are we arguing about? I said, I don't know, but it's really fun. And she's like, what do you mean it's fun? I'm like, well, I've been waiting for this all day. I've been waiting all day to come home to talk about our day and to cook with you and to purposely banter because it's fun. And she just looked at me like I was nuts. She's like, this is fun. I'm like, it's part of the fun. Mm-hmm. I'm pushing your buttons because it's kind of what we do. It's like when I say to you and the kids, I have a podcast tonight, remind me, even though I don't, that's just a line now that I use. It's to get you guys, to get you riled up, to get you laughing or to get you poking at me or whatever. It's just something to get the blood flowing. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting here. What was I doing? I was taking the skin off a lemon. What's that called?
Peeling.
No, not peeling, shredding.
Zesting.
Zesting. Thank you. I was zesting a lemon and I hate doing that. And as I'm zesting the lemon, I'm bugging my wife and I'm loving every minute of the process. Because I've been looking forward to this all day. So I just wanted to leave that there, that I became very aware that in the COVID times, I would rather be at work to do my work but it's cost me to take a few steps back, and I need to find a way to move forward again and not take those steps back. Because now that, you know, there's some talk that we may go to remote learning for a little bit because the numbers are so high, I'm not looking forward to it. In fact, you know, I'm very sad about that because I don't feel effective in that realm. Mm-hmm. And because the compassion for me is gone in that realm, people are going to expect real deal stuff. And I just don't feel like I have it in me to do that. So I'm a little bit nervous that nobody's going to be compassionate anymore because we have experts now in the remote learning field. I'm not one of them. So I'm feeling nervous that I'm not going to do a good job there and that nobody's going to care, that it's going to be difficult.
It's there isn't going to be 7 or 8 senior citizens, you know, in your line of sight when you sort of regain consciousness after you fall in the parking lot. It'll be the exact opposite of that. Someone to notice that, someone to reinforce the moment that you're injured and you need to take it slow. That's a little bit how I'm feeling if we move to fully online. There's going to be no one to notice. And this, I would extend this to the students. It's one of the most powerful things right now for us to be together in the classroom is that in this short amount of time while we have it, we're noticing all the injury that happened post March 13th. We're noticing all of it. We're getting all of that. We're triaging this at such a frantic rate. When I had my kids leave the classroom after our last face-to-face session, I had this sense like I was trying to inoculate them against any possible darkness that could set in from having to do purely online with me again. Going back to the start of our conversation, just the compliments stuff and making sure that the kids got compliments, that they felt that relationship, the positivity of the relationship, because it's so hard to do that noticing via computer. So, yeah.
Well, that's it for today, Chris Clough. I think this was season 4, episode 10.
That's what I wrote down.
Oh, do you have a picture for us today?
I don't know if it's kind of interesting. It's kind of a weird spiral.
I see tornadoes in there.
Yeah.
Spiral of tornadoes. That's how I feel about online remote learning. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm going to like literally have to hold on and not get swept up.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
And no 70-year-olds to notice.
Oh, the 70-year-olds are going to notice and they're going to say, get up. What are you doing on the ground? Take your keys, get up and get back in that car and go to where you're supposed to be. That's what they're going to say.
Several of them did say son as well. Are you okay, son? Are you okay? It was trippy, man. It was trippy. That's a memory I'm going to carry with me forever.
The compassion's gone, baby.
Compassion's gone.
And on that note, have a great rest of your weekend.
Yeah, you too, dude.
Thanks.
You too. We'll connect. Oh, the Marco Polo. Cool stuff. I like it.
Props to Joe Marquez.
Yeah, props to California. Joe Marquez.
Joe and Cali.
Joe and Cali. Yeah, I'll say anyone that wants to. It reminds me that initially it had a little bit of a feel like not Boxster.
Boxer.
Yeah. That was my mental starting point. I don't think because of the actual interface. I think it had because of the interplay that you can sort of drop back and forth. It's like walkie-talkie kind of style. Like if there was something to that. So hey, walkie-talkie, that's pretty much what you're doing. The last one you sent to me was walking and talking. That's all I got. Have a great week, dude. I'll chat you soon.
You too, son. See ya.